Welcome to the intersection of theater and even more theater. You have achieved stage grok. Stage Grok, the roaming theater podcast, coming to you from the geographic center of the American Theater. I'm your host, Scott Miller. Today, I talk with stage manager Champ Leary in the offices of the Repertory Theater of St. Louis. So thank you for talking to me today. I want to explore the job of stage manager. So you just retired from the Rep. How long were you stage manager here?
28 years.
Wow. And just kind of big picture, what is the role of the stage manager? Like, how do you fit into the production process?
Well, I guess I could start with an anecdote. And it's going to sound completely irrelevant, but it's...
but we'll get there.
We'll get there. Okay. I was visiting my brother, Michael, in Arizona over the Thanksgiving holiday, and I happened to mention to him that I was getting rid of the king-size bed in my bedroom, and some kids were coming to take it away, and it was going to be quite a process because it's a narrow stairway. It's very hard to do. And he said to me, well, Champ, you need to make sure that everything that might get hit by that gets moved out of the way, and you need to do think this, this, that, and the other. And I said, Michael, what do you think I've been doing for 40 years? I have made a living, a very good living, by looking at point A and then looking down the line at point R and coming up with every single dot that needs to get connected to get task A connected to point R, end point. And that's what I do. That's the overview.
That's an outstanding overview.
That
I love that.
That is the overview of what a stage manager does.
So would you say you are a facilitator more than anything else? That you help others do what they do?
I would say that that is true. I would say I have not one artistic impulse in my body, but I recognize and appreciate those in the people with whom I work. And my job is to facilitate and help them get their goals and visions realized. And in the most prosaic of ways, honestly,
an insanely complex process, right?
It is insanely complex. Yeah. Yes, there are many, many dots and points that have to be connected to get from that first moment of rehearsal to the last cue called on closing night.
Right. Okay. So let's go through the process. So, what's the first thing you do working on a given show?
Sign my contract.
Okay.
and then I sit down and I start making the first of hundreds of lists that I eventually will make throughout a process. So the very first chunk of thing that I do is the prep week, which is the period of time that myself and my assistant, if I'm lucky enough to be in a situation where I have one, we have to accomplish before the first rehearsal starts. So,
and what kind of stuff is that?
In the prep week, we approach the rehearsal hall with some trepidation. Sometimes the rehearsal hall is in immaculate condition, as it has been with our time at Opera Theater. Sometimes, not at the Rep, but in other theaters that I've worked, it's been kind of a disaster. So we have to start putting the room together, cleaning it, setting it up, getting everything ready.
Does that include taping down walls and so forth?
Well, that we haven't even gotten to the taping down yet. We're still just, let's get in ourselves in the room.
All right.
So then once we get all that done, then we're ready to tape out the set on the floor. And in order before you can do that, though, you have to get the ground plans. And you have to take your architect's scale and... plot points and figure out how you're going to put the...
How far things are away from each other and... all that
yes,
stuff.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, as I always say, I just need to know where my playing space is. I just know, need to know how much space have I got.
Yes, and some of us are very detail-oriented in those floor plans, and some of us are not. I'm in the not. many of them are. They're exquisite. They're just exquisite. Right. Okay, so we get that done. We get the tables and the chairs set up for the first rehearsal. We get the coffee stuff set up. We do all of the preliminary paperwork, which involves all the schedules, rehearsal schedules, performance calendars, prop lists, scene breakdowns. We contact the cast, let them know when the first rehearsal is and where. We contact all the designers and all the production people. Tell them when we're going to have a production meeting. We make contact lists. We do all of this preliminary stuff so that...
Now, when I talked to Steve and Mark here, I saw this giant grid for, I think it was for All the Way, that had all the actors, all the characters, all the costumes, like everything on this one giant grid. Did you make that? Were you part of that? Who makes that?
No. I didn't have anything to do with that. Okay. I didn't work on that show.
Okay.
I think Steve might have had a lot to do with that, and in concert with Emily, his stage manager. And that would have been appropriate for a show with that many characters played by that few actors.
Right, right, right. Lots of multiple, yeah.
Yes. So so some of the shows...
But so that is part of what happens before the first rehearsal.
Yes, right. Yes. And it's useful... to have some that for a big show like that, because you've got to know who's available when.
Right.
Because once you get into rehearsal, people want costume fittings, and they want to have haircuts and publicity photos.
Right.
And many, many, many things that happen.
Which all happened during the rehearsal day.
Yes.
Right? So others are always wanting to pull actors away from the director.
Exactly. So there's a lot of organization and mental... stuff that has to go into getting ready for that first day of the call. And I think those are the highlights of the prep week. Then the second chunk would be rehearsal, the rehearsal process. And in the rehearsal process, we are the right hand of the director. And we attempt to make sure that everything the director wants and needs is are met and anticipated, and ditto for the actors. So I take the blocking. Tony, my assistant, takes care of tracking all of the props. We call the breaks. Occasionally, we are called upon to give help with lines. If you're on the, quote, on the book, anytime an actor calls for a line, then you have to be there to give it to him.
And when is an actor no longer allowed to call for lines? How late in the process do you let them call for lines?
Well, that's entirely up to... I'll let the director play that one.
So kind of case by case.
Case by case. In this world, it's unusual for a director to ever say to an actor, you can't call for a line.
And I'm guessing... these are all trained professionals. They're not doing it all that much, right?
Right. There are many, many actors are off book the first day of blocking rehearsal.
Right.
And will be perfect with their words by the time we're at the end of the process. And there are other actors, depending on the line load, it takes a long time of working through to get those lines down. So they occasionally are calling for lines when we're in tech. And that's okay. That's all right.
So in other words, you all let the actor decide what they need,
right.
and be responsible for that.
Right. We don't tell actors they can't call for words. If the director wants to say that, then that's the director's prerogative.
Right. Talk a little bit about union stuff. So the rep is obviously a union regional theater. Talk a little bit about the things that you have to keep an eye on with regard to union rules and so forth.
Well, happily, at this theater, to a degree that has been unique in my career, the management of the theater has always been extremely precise about following the rules, and they've never, it's sometimes a theater will out of ignorance do something they shouldn't do. Not here. They know what's, they always know what's going on. So so the big stuff I don't worry about. I just keep an eye on hours and breaks, how many costume fittings you're allowed to have, how many of the total hours that you're allowed to work. If there's a possibility of an overtime situation, then I call it to the attention of the director, and we make sure that it we don't get into that situation.
Now, I'm guessing sometimes you need to go overtime, right? Not really?
Not really.
Okay.
Oh, no. Mr. Bernstein. No, no, no.
So it's a budget no-no.
It's extremely unusual that there would ever be a situation in which we would knowingly go into overtime.
Well, I'm guessing part of that is that you have everybody involved is the top of their game, and everybody involved is totally committed. And
yeah.
So
yes.
you're not gonna encounter disasters late in the process.
No. So you get done what you need to get done in the time that you have to do it.
Would you say that's probably true of most large regional theaters?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true of
most professional theaters.
Most professional equity by that I would say equity theaters, because they're professional theaters. And so far as their actors are paid, but they are not affiliated with
the
actors.
Don't follow union rules. Yeah.
So let's see, where are we? We're just sort of rehearsing away and trudging along. And once a week we have a production meeting in which all of the notes that have come out of every rehearsal period ends with the stage manager typing up daily rehearsal notes, which are sent out to all the production departments with things that they need to know for what happened in rehearsal.
And what kind of things are in those notes? Decisions made, things like that?
They're mostly, has a lot to do with requests. Could we have this prop instead of that? Could this prop have this on it instead of that on it? Could we have a rehearsal costume for so-and-so? For the sound people, we know we're going to need a doorbell chime here. I know cue lights are going to have to go X, Y, Z. It's mostly informational.
So just kind of things people are figuring out as they put the puzzle together.
Correct. Because once you start in, no matter how much you've done that you think you've done to prepare yourself, when everybody is in the room together, a lot of different things, the pieces that were here become here.
Yeah.
I'm doing a tectonic shift.
We're doing a gesture. All right, so we go through this process. When do we move into the theater, when we get on stage?
So we move into the theater a couple of days before our first preview. So all the production people have plenty of time to get all of that stuff ready.
And let me talk for a second. So before that point, have the actors had full run-throughs of the entire show?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
A fair number?
Generally, by the last week in the rehearsal hall, we've done three to four run-throughs before we hit the theater.
Still starting and stopping, probably, or no?
Occasionally, and that last run-through will probably be without stops.
So at that point, pretty much all the decisions are made, and it's really just about tiny little tweaking things?
Yes, in as much as you can do when you're standing on a piece of tape.
Because everything changes when we move on stage.
Exactly. Now, most directors are very meticulous about checking sight lines in the hall. But even so, the first thing that we do when we have our first rehearsal in the theater is what we call a spacing put-in rehearsal. And the actors are on the set for the first time with the furniture, which we've been using in rehearsal as much as possible. But it's the first time that we actually have the levels.
Right.
And quite often that will require tweaks in staging.
And I'm guessing it's even more difficult because you're on a three-quarter thrust.
It is.
So those people inside have to be able to see everything important.
Yes. Yes, they do. So so there's a lot of lining up on the aisles and lining up on the VOM lines.
Right.
And let's avoid straight line blocking and, you know, all of those things that that happen in that first time on stage. Frequently, while that's going on, the lighting designer and his team will be starting to light over. We won't be actually setting cues, but they'll be looking at, just looking at things.
Actually tinkering with lights?
Tinkering.
Yeah, okay.
Tinkering, but we're not stopping
right.
to set cues.
Right, right.
That comes in the second and third days of the tech rehearsal, which are the notorious 10 out of 12s.
So tell us what that title means.
So a 10 out of 12 is a union-designated chunk of time that's used in technical situations, which means you can rehearse 10 hours out of a 12-hour span. And those fall into 2 5-hour chunks. So you would come in at noon, let's say, rehearse till 5, then take a 2-hour break, come back at 7, and rehearse until midnight. And those texts can be arduous, but you also need them. You need those big chunks of time in order to get all the tech done for the show.
So for somebody who's never done theater in their life, what happens at that? At those two rehearsals.
So what happens is you start at the top of the show, and every time that there is something technical that has to be faced, if it's a light cue, a sound cue, a scene shift, actors getting on stage in blackouts, drops coming up, wagons going on, every last one of those moves is rehearsed.
So it's really long and tedious.
It's really long and tedious.
But it's so valuable because then later when they're running the show, so many things have been really meticulously worked out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the stage manager is in the hot seat for all of that because the stage manager is the person who is in touch with every single one of those elements and the people who are executing them. So
is stage manager in charge of the 10 out of 12s?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely, yes. Now, when if a director needs to stop or a designer needs to stop, they all say, "Can we stop?" And the stage manager stops the rehearsal, and we sort out what we need to sort out, and then the stage manager says, "Okay, we're going to go back to this point and pick it up here, and keep forging ahead."
And the reason actors hate it is the vast majority of that time they're just standing there, right?
They're standing there,
literally doing nothing.
They're sitting in the VOMs.
Just waiting.
An awful lot of standing around.
So those are the 2 days. So you finish those 2 days, and then the next day you have an audience. Is that right?
Well, the next day if it's a show that's not hugely complicated, by the night of the second day you're doing a run through.
Oh, okay.
Dress run through.
Like a real show, no stopping.
But generally, since that's the first time it's all been done, there might have to be a stop or two. All the costumes get put in on that second 10 out of 12 day, so their costume changes have to be rehearsed.
Right, because they've still only had 2 or 3 times to do
Yes.
And it may be complicated.
Yes. So then by the following day, the day of the first preview, there's a full dress rehearsal in the afternoon.
Okay.
No stops. And then that night...
And so I'm just curious, because they do this one in the afternoon, then how much of a break do they get before they do the evening show performance?
They get two hours.
So if it's like a really intense show, that's a hell of a day.
Yes. Oh, yes. And then, depending on... Then you can continue with the category contract we have. You can rehearse 5 hours every afternoon and do a show at night.
Ugh.
Exactly.
Yeah, if you want to kill your cast.
Yeah. But generally, we don't usually use all of that time because we don't need to. So then, we've gotten ourselves to the first preview. Things are going pretty well. We do some notes, fixes.
Ahead of or after that first preview?
Oh, we would do them after.
Right. So performance ends and we gather everybody together, or do you do the next day? You do it right then?
We can. Well, it's a choice. It's up to the director.
Okay.
You can do it. You can take a 10-minute break. Then you can get together for, we have 1 hour after a preview to do those kinds of notes. You can also come back the next day. So you could do both.
It seemed, as a director myself, it always seems to me like it's better to give them the notes that night so they can think about it and process it and decide how to integrate that.
Yes. In fact, most actors prefer that. They would just as soon have a, like a, let's have a good note session.
Yeah.
Not exhaustive, but just whatever it is we need to be thinking about before we come in tomorrow.
And at that point, the notes are all pretty minuscule, right?
Yeah. So by the time Friday rolls around, we are in pretty good shape.
Which is when I always come.
Yes.
So those two previews, is there a lot of work that gets done during that? Or is that pretty much just settling into it and getting comfortable?
Well, it depends on the show.
Okay.
Because some of the shows, if they're big and complicated, then they have their things that still need to be tightened up and
refined.
And that happens in those previews, both with the tech cues and with the acting. If it's a show that depends on audience response, dare I say a comedy, we want to know where the laughs are.
Right.
Because that changes, that affects.
That's the final piece of the puzzle.
Mm-hmm. Yes, what's the audience going to bring to
right.
it? So there we are now. We've gotten ourselves through tech, and we've gotten to opening night, and opening night is just a big party. And
so what's your job now?
And so now my job is, because the director frequently comes in, does the show, and skedaddles, blows town.
And a fair amount of the directors here are from out of town.
Yes, yes. So generally when the director leaves, the stage manager is the eyes and ears of the production. And I watch every show, call all the cues, I do performance reports, and try to give notes when notes are helpful. If something is going awry, if some piece of blocking has changed,
And that stuff happens. And that does happen.
And if it changes and it's not good,
right.
then and it's affecting other people negatively, then
what kind of things would you need to tweak?
If a pause is getting too long.
Yeah. I've been there.
If you're making a meal out of a moment that doesn't need to. If someone has taken three steps to the left instead of two and is out of the light,
right.
then that needs to be noted.
One thing I've noticed that happens during a run is that an actor will, without realizing it, an actor will change a single word in a line
mm-hmm.
that sort of changes the meaning mm-hmm. of it. Not drastically, yeah. but enough.
Yeah. Yes.
And they don't realize they've done it.
Yeah. Yes. And there are, because you're doing it over and over and over again, and if it's a line reading you've really never been happy with, then you're going to keep working on it
right.
and try to land the line the way you want it to be.
Right.
Sometimes that's good and sometimes it isn't good.
Right. So you're really at the wheel during the performances.
Oh yes.
You are running the machine.
Oh yes. Absolutely. And if anything goes wrong in the theater, I'm the person who has to intervene and figure out what we're going to do.
Right.
Which means anything from the most typical thing that happens is the fire alarm will go off. And it's almost never, there's never a fire.
Right.
It's just somebody had
the steam. That happened recently when I was here.
Yes. Somehow the steam iron was on underneath of the sensor. So something.
I also remember seeing Into the Woods here, and Jack came down on a rope and couldn't get off of it. And a tech guy had to come out and lift him up off the rope.
Yes, yes, because oddly enough, as meticulously as you think you've rehearsed something, you get into the run and things happen that
right.
you have no idea are going to happen.
Right.
And one of the things I was taught when I was training was to always anticipate everything that could go wrong. And believe me, no matter how much of that you do, there's always something that you didn't think of.
Right.
And
which is part of the excitement of live theater.
It can be.
Right? I mean, seriously, though, that it's different every night,
yes.
that you don't know exactly what's going to
yes.
happen. You don't know exactly how the audience is going to respond,
yes.
all that stuff.
Yes, so every performance is different, and there are nights when you could just unbelievable how many glitches show up.
Right.
And other nights are just as smooth as they can possibly be.
And yet, I'm betting 99.9% of those problems the audience never knows about.
Oh, no. No, they never did. They know when Jack can't get off of his beanstalk, right. but the other stuff they don't know. If somebody forgets to take a prop off stage, and right. somebody else has to run out and take it, they really don't.
And yet the actor will freak out because they made this mistake, this terrible mistake.
Yes, yes.
And you're like, nobody knows, nobody knows.
Nobody cares. It's fine. You didn't ruin the show tonight.
Okay, yes. So the rep does what, 6 main stage shows. 3 studio shows, 3 imaginary theater shows.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing you don't ever overlap 2 shows at a time, right?
No.
Your job's too big mm-hmm. for that. So how many shows do you do in a season?
I did 3.
All main stage?
For the last couple of years. Before that, I was in the studio, and I did 3 shows in the studio.
So is that kind of like you're moving up the ladder in some way, going from studio to main stage, or not necessarily?
There are 2 ways of looking at that. Yes, in one way, it is moving up the ladder because it's a much bigger event and more people, there are many more people involved. So there's
right.
a lot...
Bigger, more complex machine.
Yes, and much more interesting for that reason. I always loved the work that we did in the studio because...
I love studio shows.
It was... there was less spotlight and more, let's do some really cool theater.
Right.
And we accomplished that quite a lot.
Over and over and over.
Over. And I have to say now, because I love her and miss her, Susan Gregg was so fantastic. Her work in the studio was just, it was amazing.
Yeah.
She
was a terrific director, but she was also really good at nurturing new work,
yes.
which was so cool for the rep.
Yeah. Yeah, and she was really in her element down there. So.
Yeah, we miss her. She's wonderful.
So that was all. Oh, and of course there was Off Ramp. You know, there was the,
those
wonderful years, the 4 years or so that we did Off Ramp. There were even
very
more
cool shows. Very cool shows.
And I got to do a bunch of those.
And it seems like those
too.
Were closer to the scale of what you do on the main stage here. Maybe not quite.
Kind of, yes, but they were also close to the scale of what we were trying to do in the studio as well. So it was a.
I loved those shows.
Yeah, they were
neat, neat stuff. One last question for you.
Yes.
So. You've just retired now from this.
I have.
Talk a little bit about working at the Rep and the Rep family. I am an unabashed fan of the Rep. I love almost every single thing I see here. I really do. And I love the people here. And whenever I interview actors who've come into town for the Rep, they do nothing but gush about how well they're treated,
mm-hmm.
how happy it mm-hmm. is, how comfortable it is, how nice mm-hmm. and warm everybody is. Anyway, so talk a little bit about being on the inside of that. What it's like working at the Rep.
Well, I have to say, I agree with all of those things. It has been a wonderful place to work for many, many years. And it's always been, the people have always treated me very, very well here. And I guess... where else can you look but at the tippy top, and that's Steve, who's always been a nurturer himself and has embraced the family. I mean, we wouldn't be thought of as a family if those guys up there weren't doing something
right.
And so he and Mark are just fantastic together. So that's excellent. We have a crackerjack team, the next level, Edward, Seth, all of the department heads are just excellent at what they do, just the best. And
many of them are often doing very difficult stuff.
They're doing extremely difficult stuff. It is unbelievably hard to balance. I only have to do one show at a time. That's my blessing.
Oh, I never even thought of that. But the other departments are overlapping.
And all those other people are doing, they're keeping all the plates spinning and all the balls in the air.
Right.
And I have no idea how they do it.
Right.
I would have gone berserk. But they do, and they get all of these shows produced and staffed, and we don't always get along, and we fuss with each other, but mostly we're very happy with what we're doing. I mean, how many of us have been here? 28 years I've been here. That's a long time.
A lot of people stay at the Rep for a long time.
A lot of people here that are in this building have been here for a long time.
And it would seem to me, from my perspective, part of what's awesome about it is that there are all these wonderful people and the work process is really wonderful. And you're making really extraordinary pieces of art over and over and over and over that the community completely embraces, you know, and
yeah.
move audiences and make them cry and laugh and all that. That, I mean, that's just, not many people get to do what we do, and that's awesome.
And that's a really, it's really good that you know that, because times change and there's so many distractions and things people can do to entertain themselves. The fact that they make the commitment to get off their couches and come out at night and come see a play is really amazing. It's just super that they do that. And I know that's what you just described is the end product of this. What I'm sorry if your audience is going to thought what I said was incredibly tedious, because it is. When you break the pieces down of what I do, it is a snooze.
But you know what's interesting about that is the audience doesn't know what you do. The actors don't mostly know what you do. But, me working in a non-equity company, I don't know what you do.
But once you shove that all towards the end event, that's the little stitching underneath of the great big quilt. So, I feel like I've contributed, and I've certainly gotten an awful lot back from it. I've made some wonderful friendships. There are people who come here that I just adore, and some of the best friends I have made in this theater. So, it's been great. It's been terrific. I look forward to sitting in the audience as a civilian, just enjoying.
Is that going to be weird?
Well, I came to opening night of Peter
and
the Starcatcher.
I was going to say, you have done that now.
And I loved it. It was like, oh, I can just come and just sit here and relax and not be thinking about what I've got to get ready for, what's coming
down. Did you at all go, oh my, are they going to get the cue? Oh, they got the cue. Like, were you ever at all being stage manager head?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't not do that.
Right.
It'll happen. I suppose that'll go away after a while. But that happens wherever I am. But yes, it's because I know what the underpinnings are.
Right, yeah. Well, thank you so much for talking to me. This has been really cool. I think people are going to find this really interesting.
I hope so. It's been a delight talking to you.
Thank you for joining us. This is Scott Miller. Now you, too, have achieved stage grok. See you next time.